Welcome to the Real Talk Real Estate Podcast with hosts Aleem Savani and Brandon Daniel.
Welcome to Real Talk Real Estate, where we dive into the world of real estate, entrepreneurship, and investments with myself, Brandon Daniel, and co-host Aleem Savani.
Yeah, and on today's episode, it's my pleasure to introduce our next guest. He is the founder of the Kinexus Group. He's a real estate investor. He's an entrepreneur. He's a public speaker, and he's a special talent. He's a magician.
Yeah.
So welcome, Ravi, to our podcast.
Guys, thanks welcome, very much for having me.
Thank you.
It's great to have you.
Thank you. I'm going to jump right into it. We had a little conversation earlier. Just want to continue on that. Tell us a little bit about your background, why you became a real estate agent, your journey over the 18 years.
Yeah, sure, guys. So first of all, thanks very much for having me today. It's been a very rewarding and fulfilling career so far. I've been selling real estate for 18 years now. And if we go back to 24-year-old Ravi, I was in the nightlife industry. So I was a very successful Toronto nightclub promoter. And at the same time, I had a daytime occupation of working at IBM. And I was a sales manager or sales lead for a team with something called activation accounts. So these are people that didn't spend with IBM for the last 2 years, but spent 3 years prior. But the really interesting thing about me at that time is I had gotten very sick. So at 24, I was starting to go to the bathroom all the time. And sorry if this is TMI for all the audience, but yeah. I got really sick and I just had this urgency to go to the bathroom all the time. And I ended up getting diagnosed with a very aggressive case of ulcerative colitis, which is inflammatory disease of the colon. And during this whole process, what was really interesting to me was I didn't feel fulfilled working at IBM. I felt compensated, but I didn't feel fulfilled. And the girl I was dating at the time, who's now my wife, she was working for a commercial firm called Colliers International.
Yeah, I know Colliers.
Of course, yeah, right? They're one of the big three, right? She said, Rav, you'd probably be good at real estate. I didn't know much, but I knew at the end of the day, I wanted to feel of substance and I wanted to feel of contribution. And I liked, generally speaking, working with people. From there, it's been a good adventure, right? I can safely say that I'm no longer the rookie. I'm no longer the, you know, student of the game. I'm certainly a lifelong learner, but over the years we've created, I would say, a high level of service excellence and a tribe of fantastic clients.
No, that's amazing. Okay. So your journey from 24 till you became a real estate agent was what, a couple of years?
Yeah, I was licensed at 25.
Oh, 25. Yeah. So right into it 1 year later.
Yeah. So, you know, the transition, at 25, I would do everything and anything. I was always showing up, right? Actually, before I finished my phase three, my license, I was already interviewing with brokerages and I happened to have two clients.
Oh, wow.
Right? That's, I came guns blazing, guys, right?
Yeah.
And I landed at this company called Remax Vision. The office manager at that time was a fantastic woman named Christine Curry. She's recently passed away from cancer, but she was my first kind of mentor and led me into the Remax world. And I migrated to what I consider a very visionary company, which is Remax Hallmark, in 2010. So 2005 started with Remax at Remax Vision. And in 2010, which incidentally is the year I got married, you know, that was a transitionary year for me. We bought our first house, moved over to Hallmark.
Were you the only? Were you your agent for your first house?
Yeah. I mean, we bought from a developer.
Oh, okay. So,
right?
Brand new.
So, at that time, they were doing a principal only 0% mortgage. So, basically, a vendor take back of 80% principal only 0% interest. And I didn't understand. I was like, "What the hell?"
Yeah.
Right. I don't know if we can curse on this.
Go for it.
Podcast. Like, what the fuck is this? This has got to be a scam.
Yeah.
And 3 years later, we had so much equity in this house. Market went through the roof and, we still live there.
That's what I'm asking. You still live there. So you have a shitload of equity in that house right now.
You know what? I've learned that if the banks give you 2% interest, take that equity out and leverage it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Put it into something else.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Being the service industry, and you mentioned how you're a nightclub promoter, you found that gave you like a sense of comfort, like being able to talk to people, or did you have a huge network from that, I guess, that helped you?
Yeah. So, you know, Toronto nightlife in the early 2000s was like a breeding ground for future successful real estate agents.
Yeah, I know.
Right? It's wild how many people transferred from that world to where I am. And I guess the leader was a guy named Matt Castleman, who was DJ Matt C, and his partner Ben Ferguson, Matt and Ben. Those guys were like, they owned Industry Nightclub. They did RPM. They did government. Like, they were like the top tier before my time in nightlife, and quickly moved into real estate. They're also at Hallmark, and their story, they would be good guests for this.
We'll get them on. Yeah.
But when I got in, I think I was also a trailblazer in that space. And then people were thinking, oh, Rav, like, Rav's doing good, man. Like, maybe I should look at real estate. I swear, like, I opened the gates a little bit more and a lot of them moved through. But nightlife, at that time, there was no Instagram. There was no DMs. There was no, you know, you called people.
Yeah.
People knew if they wanted to see that girl from Montreal, maybe they might see her at Joker Long Weekend Sunday at the Brighter Days party.
Oh, wow.
So we gotta make plans, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And even Arif, who you know, he was in the nightlife industry.
His network is big through that too.
Yeah. So you know what? It was a great time to expand on network. And network is net worth, right? And we were talking a little bit about that earlier. I did have a big database, but I also felt comfortable, right? The other thing too is everybody on my team comes from hospitality almost.
Okay.
It's really interesting.
No, which is good. I think hospitality, nightlife, all that, like, it brings a lot to real estate because you already know how to talk to people. You know how to build relationships.
Yeah. Right? And I was smart enough to know that I didn't know what I didn't know, right? So perhaps I had a little bit of, you know, riz, or I could talk to people, or, you know, network. But I needed to learn real estate. And I'm very fortunate that I've had good mentors. I've really planted my time into mastering this craft. Mm-hmm. And there's always more. And not just understanding, you know, meets and bounds or whatever, right? But understanding the dynamics of seller expectation, buyer expectation, months of inventory, you know, data dives, comparable analysis. Like, I have coupled you know, a love for people and a desire to connect and a strong network with really understanding how to optimize the price for the seller and the buyer.
Yeah, no, that's very important too.
You mentioned that I guess majority of the people on your team come from hospitality. So what would you say makes a good team leader?
So this is a question I was asked on a separate podcast, and on the spot I said something that ended up going a little viral in a short clip. I said, a good team leader needs to understand what they can do to bring out the best in a team member, right? I would reverse engineer that question and say, am I a good candidate to serve this agent on my team? And, you know, a lot of people might answer that differently, but my goal needs to be one with the goals of my team members. And my job at the end of my life is for the people around me to say, Rav, I'm a better business person and I'm a better agent and I'm a better human being because of the time that you've spent with me. That's all I want.
Okay. Like LeBron.
Yeah.
Make the people around you better.
Listen, you know,
I feel like that's a good way to say it. He's like, he's great.
Well, listen, like, so I met Magic Johnson.
Oh yeah.
Magic, he's the assist guy. He's the best point guard. You know, in his first year, his job was to pass it to Kareem.
Yeah.
And, you know, the team leader needs to create assists.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
If you look at the championship team, right, there might be an MVP, but the person who's the playmaker, like Kyle Lowry was one of these guys, right?
Yeah, big time, yeah.
Like, Kyle made the plays happen for the Raptors.
Yeah.
Right? So I kind of like that. And also, you need to be a little visionary and a little abundant. Guys, I never sweat the little things. Like, I had a call with one of my agents today, and they're like, hey, Rav, so, you know, we've got a bunch of open houses this weekend, and I just want to make sure we have enough signs. I ordered another shitload of signs this morning, right? Like, I don't squeeze the the overhead to manage the net, I look at the top line and say, how can I help everybody on the team score more?
And that's the right way of doing it too. Because if you're squeezing so much, people below you, they feel it, right?
Yes.
And they may be scared to call and be like, Rav, I need more signs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They may not say anything and, you know, it could hurt the business.
The other part of it too, guys, is like the other night we were dealing with some sellers who are very shrewd, very tough, very strong negotiators, and they have very strong expectations. And they had some addendums to our listing agreement. I was on the call with Sabrina on my team till 10:30 at night. And she's like, Rav, I'm sorry I kept you up. I was out. So I wasn't even home. It was a late night and it was work until 10:30. And I was talking with Steve as well. And, you know, I said to my wife after, I said, it does energize me. Like it actually is fulfilling to, I could take the call with the seller, but I'd rather take the call with the agent so the agent can handle the seller, because I'm seeing that agent in 2027 and 2028 having been built because of the reps that she, in this case, is doing now.
Is this the one in Bayview Village?
Yeah. It's a nice
I'm actually, this is just off topic. I'm pitching that to my client.
Let's go, Ali. So,
like, I'm trying to get him to like come by. I know you're doing open house on Saturday.
What's the address?
Show it and sell it, guys. 34 Bond.
Yeah, it's
open house
Bond.
This weekend.
34 Bond, yeah. Open house. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to check it out too.
The video is on Instagram. I saw it this morning.
There you go. And isn't that funny? Because we have MLS, we have all these things, but agent network is something,
it's huge.
Something that I really believe in. Like we're sitting here. We're technically competitors, but we're collaborating.
Yeah.
And one day, Brandon and I might sit and work on a deal. One day, you and I might work on a deal. And we would be like, oh, remember that time we were down at the studio and we recorded? It makes a difference.
Yeah. No, I believe in agent network. And that was the next question I was going to ask you was, you do a lot of broker opens.
Yes.
Right. And compared to open houses, like what is the difference between those two and what's the reasons behind it?
Yeah. So I have a conversation with my sellers in particular. I say, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, I just want you to understand this. The retail or above retail buyer for your home has been out looking with their buyer agent. I said, we have 77,000 members of the Toronto Real Estate Board, and you're looking to sell your house with my help for the optimal price. The person that comes through the open house and is kind of, you know, just got engaged and, honey, let's go take a look at the homes in the area on the weekend, or the neighbor that sees the sign and wants to pop in, while those might be prospects for myself and my team, the likelihood of that person paying for your home the highest and best possible price is less than the people that come to my agent open house.
Yeah, which is true. Yeah.
So, you know, it's a multi-pronged approach to getting the best results for our clients, but we like broker opens, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I've been to one of yours. They're nice.
Yeah, I think you came to Inniswood.
Inniswood. And then networking there with agents is good because, like, sometimes you don't know who's in your office. You don't know everybody, right?
Yeah.
And then you build that relationship.
Yeah, I just started going to broker opens probably just a little bit less than a year ago. Before that, I wasn't even.
Never went. You're my second one I've gone to.
Yeah, and you know, I go back to a vintage when we used to do tours, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, who's got something new on tour this week? And you go and you take a look at all the homes, right?
Yeah.
That also helps for your mastery as an agent, right? Like, there's so much to be valued by going and seeing product. Right? Like I go to the pre-construction events. I go to the Scarborough Breakfast Club. I go to the beach tour sometimes. I'll go to the Asian open houses. Obviously, I do the condo club mastermind. And, you know, the goal with all of this, here's a tip for any brand new buyer agent. You showing homes to your buyer on Saturday at 11 a.m., don't you think you should preview those on Friday? Like, hey, listen, man, I went through. I hope your checkbook's ready. Yeah. Because you said you are looking for A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and I have all of that plus H, I, N, G. I already talked to the agent. Guys, this one, I think you're going to really like. And if you don't like it, no problem. Let's debrief after. But I'm very excited. You said you wanted the daybed. You said you wanted the skylights. You said you wanted the open console. You said you wanted the bright house. We've been looking at this, that. But I saw this yesterday. Guys, I'm excited. I hope you are too. That's going to make a buyer feel different than, hey, okay, I booked for 11. Let's go take a look. And you're fumbling with the lockbox. You know what I mean? True.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a little more work, but it's actually less work because
you're weeding out stuff as well, right? You're not spending your day going to 15 homes on a Saturday.
And one of my famous sayings that everybody laughs at is, I say, I'm going to go through my Rolodex and find you a buyer for this house. And everyone's like, Rolodex, right? I'm like, what the hell's a Rolodex, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, spirit of cooperation, right? Yeah, yeah. And it goes both ways, right? And I've been to, like, I've got some buyers that are into that upper level of luxury. And, you know, it's a very tight-knit, like, very tough crowd. But, you know, you start showing up, you start laying the groundwork, it helps, right? Like, there are agents that if they don't know you, it's harder to negotiate with them too.
No, I found that. I found that out too.
And feeding off of that about seeing homes and agents. Okay, inspection reports. I saw something you had mentioned on your, so I follow you and I was on your page and you were talking about inspections. I don't know if it was at the top in one of those, what are those called? Those memories?
Features.
And how do you approach a situation where you have an inspection report, things come up, deficiencies, you know, they uncover some, you know, issues, whether they're big or small. The seller's willing to remedy those, but the buyer
wants out. Yeah.
What's your approach to that?
So the best thing to do is be as proactive as possible, and risk management is part of our job as listing agents. So the standard clause on Schedule A is usually buyer's sole and absolute discretion regarding the home inspection. What if it was the inspection finding problems that the seller's not willing to remedy?
Yeah.
So, you know, this is a clause that we haven't used in 10 years because we've had a balanced or seller's market, right? Also, there's a little bit of nuance and reading that you got to do with the buyer and the buyer agent, right? It's like, hey, where's my deposit? Oh, we're working on it. It's like, do you want this house or not? You know what I mean? Like, there are red flags, and especially with commission-based, right? So we're like really excited. Maybe it's been 30 days on the market. You finally negotiate something. Yeah. You're like, oh my God, just got to get the inspection done. But does the buyer still want the house? And I tell my clients sometimes, I'm like, win-win, no deal, right? WWND is basically the idea that the buyer needs to feel happy and the seller needs to feel happy, because after the accepted offer, we have to manage terms and we have care and custody of the file until a closing date. That's a whole bunch of weeks later or months. I had a closing yesterday, two closings yesterday, and the buyer came through for the visit and was like, hey, like, you know, what's up with this? The cabinet door's off. And we got the handyman in to fix it up. We did things for the buyer that go above and beyond, but because the contract is one part, the emotion is the other part, right?
Yeah. The emotion is huge. I've had it where we sold a house and the moving company actually, they wrecked the stairs. And then the buyers came in and was like, what's going on with my stairs? So I got to seem like you got someone there, fix it up right away for them, no charge, because you also want them to come in and feel nice.
Yeah. And, you know, like, it's important to pay it forward with the agent community. You'll see people across the table. They're like, oh, Brad's a dick. He left that house with, like, dog poop everywhere and blah, 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 right? That's different than, you know what? There were some problems, but Rav showed up. And by the way, we have this habit sometimes when things get a little rocky, sometimes we'll go hide under the covers and be like, I don't want to deal with this. Deal with that. That's your opportunity to really showcase why you're the best.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I've had a number of occasions where things, appraisals come in bad, or inspections come in bad, or purchaser visit comes in bad, or closing comes in bad. And, you know, the easy thing to be is like, not my problem. Let the lawyers deal with it or whatever. But if you just put a little bit of grease on that wheel, it's better for everybody.
Yeah, it's where you kind of earn your money too.
Mm-hmm.
And it moves things more smoother too when you're involved.
Yeah.
Compared to just letting it sit there.
I agree.
Yeah. Because you don't know what's going on behind the doors, right?
100%.
So I want to touch up on your Connexus Group.
Yeah.
How that started, what made you decide to start the group? And I know you have a partner as well, right?
Yeah. So when I had kids, actually, let me circle back a little bit. A great book is The Red Book by Gary Keller, Millionaire Agent.
Yeah, I read about it. Yeah.
Right? Great book. And he talks about the seventh level business and the whole idea of like, this is where you are. This is where you can go. The best way to do that was with people. Now, I, over the time, decided I wanted to sell a lot of real estate. Like I wanted to be doing more for more, right? And I realized that you could do two things. You could hate your life, always be on the phone, and you know, never see your kids and make a lot of money. Or you could solve the problem of let's do more for more with great talent. So I slowly have worked on this. This has been my passion project. I have worked on this for a long time. And I've always had a red light, green light approach to the team. All right. So first, Alicia came on and she was great. She was my right hand. She is my executive assistant. She's our client care manager. She does everything that I don't do for my clients. And we've got great rhythm, right? And I believe in taking care of your people. And, you know, at this point, we're family, right? Then I decided to bring on some agents. And at the time, a client of mine who's very strong networker and just talented and just amazing, shout out, her name's Alicia. She introduced me to Justin. And this is really interesting because the Venn diagram of our networks, there's a lot in the middle.
Yeah.
Right? Like I interviewed Justin and he's like, yeah, you know, I know so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah. And by the way, I talked to so-and-so. And anyways, we really hit it off. We were supposed to meet for 15 minutes. We met for about 4 hours. All right. I was fearful. I was growing, but I knew I didn't know what I didn't know. And at the time I was providing leads to Justin and he's grown into a top producer and he owns part of Connexus Group. Over the years, we've added Ashley, Sabrina, Jerry, Jason, Sang, Nelly, and all of them, they fit something that I can't quite explain. They fit this avatar agent of mine in a lot of ways. And I don't know how to quantify that into words, but something along the lines of, you know what? We focus on a demographic. We focus on what we call approachable ballers. All right. And approachable ballers, maybe they've got like a really nice arm tattoo and they're expecting their second child and they collect J's and they feed at a soup kitchen on the weekend. And they go and they pick up their mom and take her out for lunch every Thursday. And they've got busy life with soccer practice and Zoom. But they're excited to see us. And when we get together, there's kinship. My agents, they fit into that space. So much so that we can have WhatsApp group chats. And I hear, you know, I'll just share with you one story. Ashley says, Rav, I talked to this client, let's just call her, you know, Annalise. I talked to Annalise for an hour on the phone. She was crying with me. She had a miscarriage. Now, Annalise is my client, but all of a sudden she has this kinship with Ash, right? It's hard to explain that, but it's also in the word Connexus. Connexus stands for connect, next, and nexus. We connect you to what's next, but we understand your home is not just a place of dwelling. It's where you share your meals. It's where you raise your family. It's where you host your friends. It's where you celebrate occasions. It's the nexus of your existence, right? And I think the character of my team is, number one, they get our clients. And number two, you know, we're all got our head down, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and you guys seem like you guys all work together as well. There's no like real competition.
And everybody asks, they're like, Rav, why doesn't anybody leave your team? Well, people have, right? And I wish them all well, and they're doing their own thing. But the people who are with us, I think if we were narrow it down, they go somewhere else. It's not better. My job is for them not to want to go somewhere else because nowhere else is better. Well, what's better? Better is I'm rewarded. I'm respected. I'm compensated. I'm part of a good culture. I feel purpose. I enjoy what I do. Right? Where I saw the problem of taking someone from what they are to what they would like to potentially be as best as I can.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Well said.
You sold me on joining your team.
I want to touch on client testimonials.
Okay.
Did you find that to be hard to ask for that in the beginning of your, I guess, entrance into real estate? Because I'm finding it difficult.
Yes and no. So we got two things that we do, and this is just a tip. I don't know if it's going to work for everybody else.
Yeah.
Is we don't do it at firm. We don't do it at closing. We do it at firm. We have a really good email that we sent out. All right.
Okay.
With a link, short URL, and it says, "Hey guys, just want to let you know, this process has been an absolute joy. I'm so happy that you guys have purchased this home. One of the things we really value as a team are 5-star Google reviews. And with no obligation, we're asking you if you're willing to write a review. Here is the link. Once we get this review, just understand that we will make a donation to the Children's Miracle Network, and you'll be honored as your home will be honored as a Children's Miracle home with appreciation for what you're doing here today." And you know what? People are like, "Oh, 100%, I'm going to write a review." And then they don't.
Yeah.
So then I just say, "Hey guys, nudge."
Okay. Yeah.
And they're like, okay. Because what's a Google review? A Google review is, "I'm watching the game, got the email." I'm like, "Yeah, I'll get to that." And then you don't. And the clients want to, but sometimes they just, it's not their priority. I have people I want to review. And I'm like, "Oh, I got to review that restaurant. Or I got to review that place. Or I got to review that sales rep." And I sometimes forget.
Yeah.
And I never mind being reminded.
Okay. So I think that was my biggest issue is, after I, you know, mentioned it, I didn't do it in such a
formal way.
Like, the way you did it was excellent. Like, with your email, like, I didn't do it like that. It'd be like conversation over the phone, you know, at the end when the deal firms up. But then I just felt uncomfortable reaching out and being like, "Hey, like, about that review."
I know.
So
I would feel uncomfortable too. It's like, "Hey, did you get that review yet?"
Yeah.
So it's weird, right? It's weird.
Like, I send the link out, right?
Yeah.
Just put the same thing. Yeah. Sometimes that you do one nudge, you gotta nudge it 3 or 4 times.
It's
just
like, but I'm forgetful as well, right? And there's many people, from the guy who sold me the car and was excellent and really like was amazing. And he's like, "Hey, do you mind leaving me a review?" I think after I leave here, I'm gonna leave that review. Yeah. That was like a couple years ago.
You know what? And if you do those reviews, the universe has a way of patting you on the back.
Yeah.
So you talked about abundance before. How important is mindset for you in your business and in your personal life?
It's literally the launch pad for everything. So I just want you guys to understand my perspective. When I was young, they said, "Mr. Singh, the likelihood of you making it to your 40th birthday is very low. You're a certain candidate for colon cancer by the age of 35. With all due respect, you know, we can't leave this room today and say with certainty that you'll have a clean bill of health ever." So imagine winning that lottery.
Yeah.
Right? Imagine. I wrote a pretty emotional email on the weekend. I was in New York and I was visiting my seniors in my family. And I wrote an email. Guys, I was in the business executive Sapphire Lounge, LaGuardia Airport. There's this supermodel sitting next to me, and this rich Swedish family, they're way too trendy, right? Like, probably like $1,000 hiking, you know, t-shirt on and stuff, right? I'm looking around and everybody's so hospitable. And I wrote to my team, I said, "Guys, you know, we've all taken this calculated risk. We've left comfort wherever we were to pursue success. And success is a constant sort of goalpost that's moving. But I feel very mindful. I feel very grateful. I feel very aware that where we are today and what I have today was once just a dream. You know, like, I believe in dreaming, but I tell my team this all the time. I say dreams, then goals, goals, then systems, then tactics, tactics than accountability, right? Once you go through that process, that dream one day happens, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen tomorrow, right? I mean, maybe, but usually my experience is to go from this tactic and accountability and process to a life dream takes a while. And look, I'm not anybody special. I'm just living in my space and trying to do my best, right? And I think the other part of that abundance, so Ken McLaughlin, who's the broker record, he used to say this thing, so I hate to spoil the ending, but everything's going to be okay, right? And that's a very empowering thing, right? It's like once you realize, once you accept that things are good, then you've made a choice to live abundantly, right? My wife was at a funeral yesterday for someone who had a heart attack. He's 45. The kids were supposed to get picked up, and Julian was like, where's dad? Let's walk home. They walk home. They're like, dad, what the hell, man? Like, you forgot us. Dad, wake up. Dad, stop pranking us. Hello. And then they realized, 13 years old, 9 and 7, that their dad was not going to wake up. And I know firsthand that we have this level of mortality that, with all due respect, most people don't value or acknowledge from my perspective. Most people say, fucking traffic. Oh, it's too hot. Oh, it's too cold.
That's so true.
Right?
I was thinking that this morning. I'm like, what's with this traffic?
So listen to me, bro. You're driving. Your car has air conditioner?
Yeah.
Bluetooth speaker?
Yeah.
Is it a nice car?
Yeah.
You know, who cares?
What's to complain about? Yeah.
Now, I'll be honest, Toronto traffic sucks, It's really bad, guys. And every day it gets worse and worse.
Construction, yeah.
Construction. I don't know, Olivia Chow, if you're listening to this, why is Adelaide, Queen, King, and Gardner, and I'm probably forgetting some, which are east-west arteries, all undrivable? Can we please stop the madness, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, me and Olivia, we have a good love-hate relationship, right?
Yeah, we can talk about that.
But, I mean, it sucks, but who cares?
Yeah.
We won the lottery. Guys, we're in a beautiful air-conditioned studio in this nice building, doing what we want, you know, like, we won a lottery.
Yeah, there's a lot to appreciate.
Yeah.
And that's true. And a lot of times you can forget, like, everything around you.
Yeah.
And quickly, I want to touch on, so your passions. So work is important, but obviously you got to set time aside for yourself and what makes you happy. You mentioned music.
Mm-hmm.
So instrument, what's your instrument?
Yeah, so I play tabla, which is a North Indian classical drum.
I got one for you.
Yeah, so I've been playing that. So my dad was real Renaissance guy, and he did very well academically and professionally. He was in finance, but he loved Indian classical music. We grew up with this tradition. I'm named after Ravi Shankar, who's a very famous sitarist. And my dad played the sitar. And when I was 12, I started playing tabla pretty seriously. At 18, I got an Ontario Arts Council scholarship to go live with my guru in London, England. Wow. And we played orthodox, like wake up at 4.
Yeah.
And we did rudiments for 2 hours before the day would start, right? I learned so much about life, music, art, history, culture from my guru, right? Who my parents, you know, he was like a grandfather to me. Picture this old, white-haired, tall master from Varanasi, India, from Banaras, head of the Banaras Khan. I was living in his house in Southall, which is like the Gerrard Street of
India,
of England, right? And you know, this was like my teens, and then we went to Miami, Montreal. Like every summer I spent with Guruji, right? I performed at Oxford, I performed at McGill. Like this was part of my life. That's really interesting because you said passions. Well, what happens in your 30s? You build your home, your kids, your career, right? Your debt. Maybe you're looking after your parents a little. So music actually was always there. It's literally my first love. But now I'm finding more artists in me.
Okay.
I'd actually have a concert on September 7th. You guys come if you want, right? Yeah. I'll invite you.
Wait, where is it?
It's going to most likely Space on King, which is this beautiful white box studio space. It's called Reflections. and it's going to be Ravi Singh and friends, and it's going to be Indian flavor, right? But with not like you know, the dads having like the old style, more like, you know, like
younger generation.
Like I was born here, you know. Yeah. But this is going to be a very cool event, and you know, I'm going to Miami to see my guru's son. We've never connected except during COVID. And this the first time I meet face to face. Like I stayed in his bedroom, you know, like I was living in his parents' house, but he had moved on by that time. So music, I'm so excited about. And I'll tell you, in that red book, it talks about seven level business. Real estate is my passion. It's my business. It's my life. It's my life's work. And it's 18 years. And I'm now at the point where I'm sprinkling passion projects. One is music. Mm-hmm. Two is philanthropic events. Three, I own a restaurant. Four, we are building a real estate portfolio. And then five, I'm got a Zoom today at 12 o'clock with a really interesting new business called Heal House.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about Heal House.
Yeah, so Heal House, it's literally going to change health practices in Canada. And we need to change them.
Yeah, no, we do, yeah.
So there's a big problem with treating what is wrong instead of deciding why you have wrong things.
Okay. Yeah, no, you're doing it the right way, because it's just normally it's just like, this is what the issue is, go fix it.
And by the way, there's no free lunch. So my economics teacher in university, he was like Chinese, he didn't really speak English, and every lesson he'd say one thing that stuck with me: there's no free lunch. I'm like, he'd be like, do you understand there's no free lunch? And I was like, I've learned nothing from this class. It wasn't economics, it was finance, calculus finance. Like, I've learned nothing except there's no free lunch, right? But I understand we want to neglect ourselves for convenience, and then we want to be healthy. And when we become unhealthy, we want to solve that with prescription medicine.
Yeah.
With all due respect to that strategy, it's not worked out well for the boomers. Yeah. So as the next generation, we need to understand that there are a four-pronged approach, and Heal House is working with the fourth. So everywhere we're working with three, everybody knows it, diet, nutrition, exercise, and supplementation. Those are the three. So nutrition, exercise, supplementation. Where Heal House is sprinkling in the next wave is therapeutics. So therapeutics are advanced machines, including AI, that are bringing in things that are heavy practiced in places like Japan, Scandinavia, Germany. Guys, they have things that are absolutely unreal that will literally transform a 30-something-year-old, 40-something-year-old, 50-something-year-old's twilight years. So they have a machine that does a nasal process that clears all plaque buildup in the major arteries of your brain. If you have a prognosis or a risk towards Alzheimer's.
Oh, wow.
Right? They have a machine called PMF that at a cellular level deals with harmonics and vibrations and electricity, and it basically grounds you. So one of the ancient Indian practices was you'd wake up, you'd face the sun, and you'd plant your feet in the earth. Grounding is such a huge thing. Who grounds in 2024?
Nobody. So my wife taught me about grounding.
Yep.
And she's like, put your feet on the ground in the grass.
Yeah.
Stand for a little bit. Like,
so there's a way to do that with a PMF machine or a grounding blanket where you can just basically drain all the negative electrons in your body and go back to, neutral, positive and negative, right? With this machine, right? We have like, there's just like, you know, for guys like me, we got the coffee enemas, but we don't need to get into all of that right now. We've got, you know, we've got so many things. Now, none of it, you don't just walk in and be like, hey, I'd like this, this, and this. No, you meet with doctors, you meet with medical professionals. After advanced diagnostics with AI and a brain trust of incredible medical professionals across the world confirming what your future looks like, we take a look at your genetic disposition, your current health situation, and then we look at the epigenome and we say we can solve the problems that you potentially will have in the future if we take a proactive approach now. It's very special.
And is that live right now, the Heal House, or is that something you're working on?
July. We're getting there. Yeah. So like we're literally like, I don't know if you can hear the excitement in my voice.
I hear the excitement in your voice.
But guys, I've had cancer.
Yes.
I've had colitis. I unfortunately, I'm dealing with a digestive disease, an inflammatory disease that is another fork in the road right now. And this one, OHIP, has said there's a 14-year life expectancy and there's four stages and we don't have anything to do for you. And then when I looked at my wife in her tears, I said, I reject that. And isn't it ironic that the universe has showed up with a solution?
Yeah.
When you focus on solutions, you get solutions. When you focus on problems, you get problems.
Yeah. So how do you stay so positive? Like, I think that's what...
I don't know, guys.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase that. I got great mentors.
Yeah.
I seek quality people. And, you know, maybe it's a defense mechanism. Maybe it's a superpower. But I see the math, right? In integers, positive is greater than negative, period.
Ravi, thank you very much for joining us. Got to have you back next time. I want to learn more about the Heal House.
Yeah.
About your restaurant.
Yep.
And I'm going to bring a tabla here next time for you.
Absolutely.
And then you can just do some drumming.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. I'm going to make it out September 7th, you said?
Yeah. Guys, thank you very much for having me today. I think you guys are doing something very good right now, and I appreciate being your guest.
Yeah,
no Thanks problem. For coming, right? Yeah,
and just so people can reach out to you, did you want to throw out your...
Yeah, so there's a bunch of handles, but there's at Ravi Singh Remax. That's probably the easiest way to kind of follow along with me. And we've got a bunch of passion projects that you can find me on Instagram. That's probably the easiest way.
Okay, perfect.
All right, awesome. Looking forward to having you on again sometime. And... Yeah, thanks for joining another episode of Real Talk Real Estate.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.